2 Corinthians 3, if you'll stand, please. I want us to read just 2 verses to begin with, but I want you to keep your Bibles in hand as we'll look at several verses to begin with this evening. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing tonight. I want to preach your word, and I want to preach it in the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts as you've begun to already this evening, and I pray your will be accomplished in our being here. Lord, work has been done for this meeting, and prayer has been given, and Lord, I pray that we would not come to this place now in the time of reaping and seeing the answer to our prayer. We would not stop short, but we would receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Most Christians, I believe, know that when we were saved, the Lord began a changing process in our lives. There was a day in America that even unsaved people knew that when you got saved, it meant change. That's what it meant. In fact, many folks would not get saved because they did not want to turn loose of their sin. They didn't want to turn loose of who they were, and they would put off being saved because they didn't want to be changed. But the truth is, I think we know that when God saved us, He saved us to change us. Salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning of our relationship with God. Baptism actually pictures a death to the old life, a death to flesh, and raised to walk in the newness of life in Christ. And God saved us to change us. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to His purpose. And the Bible says in verse 29, for whom He called, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He saved us, and He saved us with the intention and with the desire to change us and to make us like Christ. Now, never do we come to a place in our Christian life that we grow and we turn to see how folks are doing behind us, or we compare ourselves to another, but we're to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we're to be changed to be like Him until that day that we come, according to Ephesians chapter 4, in heaven, and we come to His very likeness. God wants to change our lives. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past according to the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse number 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't think it's a secret or anything new to understand that when God saved us, He saved us to change us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. We're to be like Him. He is our model. He is our pattern. He is our outline. He is our blueprint. He is our design. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. We're to be becoming like Christ. Christ in our lives. He saved us to change us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't think it's anything new to understand that no matter what age or how long we've been saved, there is a process that's going on in our life. And I should be more like Christ today than I was last year, than I was the year before, than I was when I got saved. I'm supposed to be becoming like Christ. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 John 3, the Bible said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet what we appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now the truth is, the Christian who desires to please the Lord desires to be changed. We desire to be changed from the control of the flesh to the control of the Spirit. Every good Christian wants to be like Christ. Every good Christian understands that there is growth to take place. There is change that needs to be taking place in our lives. We should desire to be like Christ. Paul said this, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It concerns me that so many Christians in our world today think nothing about being changed. Sadly, the only changes being made in some places is the church, but not the Christian. They're even changing the Bible. I don't need a Bible change to fit me. I need change me to fit the Bible. We're changing the church to be like the culture. There was a day the Apostle Paul went into town and the culture didn't dictate the church. The church changed the culture. The freedoms that we enjoy in our world today, that freedom for mankind came from an understanding of the Word of God. Christianity has given to us our foundation for the civil and moral codes of our land. And all of that came from the Word of God. There are many, they don't think about being changed in their life at all. In fact, I'll visit folks as you have, and they'll say, well, I'm looking for a church that I like. I'm looking for a church that fits me. The truth is, we'll be looking for a church that makes me like Christ. That changes us to be like Christ. They're looking for a preacher that will make them comfortable rather than looking for a preacher that will help them to be like Christ. The truth is, everybody wants God in their life, but you know, most people want God in their life to fix their circumstances. What they want. They're like the children of Israel who crossed the Red Sea and sang a great song of victory, and 72 hours later they come to Marah and they're complaining and murmuring against Moses. They're shouting on Sunday and they're murmuring on Wednesday. You know why? God wasn't their portion. They wanted God to fix their circumstances. Most people praise God not because of who He is, but for what God has done in their life. And most praise is a response rather than an obedience. I don't praise God just when I feel like it. I praise Him when He deserves it, and He deserves it all the time. Can I tell you something, by the way? Praise is not to be just a result. Praise can actually cause things to happen in your life. That's good. You ought to praise God before it happens, but so many want God in their life to fix their circumstances. The prayer of Jabez became a popular sermon. You know why? Hey, here's a God that'll fix my circumstances. Here's a God that'll make me rich. I'm not against the prayer of Jabez. I like the prayer of Jabez. But the truth is, God didn't come into my life to be a genie in a bottle. God came into my life to sit on the throne and be the master and to be the Lord of my life and to change me to be like Him. Our heart's desire should be to be like Christ. The Bible said this. Paul taught the church at Colossae. He said in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why it is that the world is not coming to Christ is because the church is becoming more worldly. In fact, Dr. Lakin used to say, the church is getting so worldly and the world is getting so churchy. I can't tell the difference in the two. He said if there's any hope for the Gentiles, it's Christ in you. That's their hope of glory. Now, the truth is, we're to be made into His image. Now, here's the message. Are we changing? Are we being changed? Several years ago, in fact, when I just began in pastoring, I heard a veteran preacher had been preaching many, many years. He told a story that literally changed my life in thinking about this understanding of the change that's to take place in my life. He told this story. He said, as a younger preacher, he said, I hungered so much to be like Christ. He said, I decided that I would take a week. I would leave my church and I would go stay by myself. He told the city of the town that he went to. He said, I took just my Bible. I took pencil and paper. He said, I didn't want any phone calls. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And he said, what I decided to do was to make a study of the life of Christ. I wanted to write it down and I wanted to do just what Jesus did. He said, I wanted to sleep like Jesus. I wanted to walk like Jesus. He said, and so I took pencil and paper and I began to study. For example, he said, I studied the prayer life of Jesus and I wrote it down. I wrote down everything I could find about the prayer life of Jesus. He said, I studied the teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus, His style of preaching, who He preached to, everything I could learn about His teaching and preaching. He said, I wrote it down and he said, that was my goal. I was going to teach just like Jesus. I was going to preach just like Jesus. He studied the daily life and the daily work of the Lord Jesus, the rising early and the working late and the diligent work. Work while it's day and the night cometh when no man can work. Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business. He said, I studied the work ethic of the Lord Jesus. And I wrote down everything I could write down. I wrote it down not just as a study, but to apply it to my life because I had determined I was going to be like Christ. He said, I studied the selfless attitude and attributes of Christ, how Christ came to give. He came to die. That was His purpose. He said, I studied all of that. I studied the forgiveness of Christ, how they treated Him, but what His response was. I studied that. He said, I wrote it down because I determined I would be just like Christ. He said, I studied the mind of Christ. I tried to figure, how does He think? How did Jesus think? And I wrote down everything I could write down and find. He said, I studied the surrender of Christ when He said, not my will, but thine be done. I studied how He took the flesh and He made the flesh a servant to the will of the Father. He said, I studied the humility of Christ. Though He was God, He took on Himself the form of a servant. He humbled Himself. He said, I noted that all that Christ did was in the power of the Spirit. He said, I noted the Word of God in the life of Christ and how that His responses were not His feelings or His emotions, but all of His responses were the Word of God. And I studied all of that. He said, I studied the temptation of Jesus and how that after 40 days of fasting, can I tell you, your high, your spiritual high, that's where the devil will attack you with an equal amount. Can I tell you something? With a revival are the equal attacks of the devil. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to take away everything you've received in these 3 days and then 4 days. He wants to take it all away. So don't be surprised. Peter said, I think it not strange which concerning the fiery trials, which is to try some of you. Some folks come to my office and they say, preacher, I can't understand this. I've been tithing and serving and doing good and I'm under attack. I said, well, Peter said, think it not strange. He said, I studied all of that. He said, I studied the relationships of Jesus. He said, I studied how he loved his mother. How he dealt with his disciples. His relationship with friends and foes and enemies and followers and rulers and leaders and all of that. He said, I spent the whole week, I made many notes and I determined that I would make my flesh do exactly what it was supposed to do. The old preacher said, after 6 months, I evaluated my life and he said, the truth is, I felt like a failure. I felt like I just hadn't, I was just so disappointed. He said, I went back to the scripture and I reread the verses about being like Christ. He said, I came to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 again and I read verse number 18 and he said, I thought, surely something I've missed. I can't live this disappointed in me. And here's what he found. Verse number 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the... Wait a minute. He said, I missed it. He said, I was trying to do what the Spirit came to do. He said, it's obvious that I couldn't do it. The Holy Spirit didn't come inside me to live because he was homeless and had no place to go. The Holy Spirit was the changing agent and I was trying to change rather than being changed. He discovered that he was working hard to do what the Holy Spirit came to do. You see, the Holy Spirit is the changing agent in our lives. You see, when we work on changes that need to be made, so often we change what we see or maybe what others see. The Holy Spirit may make changes that we don't see. Or we don't even know need to be changed. Stay with me now. Let me use sports as an example. My idea of learning how to golf is, or was, go to a yard sale, get a good deal on a set of clubs, get you a nice hat, pair of shoes, and a glove, and just go out there and do it. I got to where I asked the guys, you mind if I hang a weed eater on my golf cart? That bothered y'all. They wouldn't let me do it. It looked so easy. But it was so hard. I mean, I'd hit the ball. And I mean, I couldn't understand it. I'd hit it one time. I mean, it would go a country mile and then it'd come back. Then I would hit it and they would say, that's what you call a worm burner. I mean it, boy. And so I golfed with a fella who knew how to golf. He had taken lessons. He'd been golfing for 30 years. He said this. He said, preacher, you're not holding your hands right. I said, what does it matter how you hold your hands? He said, it matters where the ball lands. You know what? I didn't even think about that because I didn't know anything about golfing. But the teacher knew. He said, your stance is wrong. I said, what does that matter? He said, it matters where the ball lands. He said, keep your head down. I said, I want to see where the ball goes. He said, it ain't going anywhere. I mean, it was frustrating because I never thought of a single thing you were supposed to do because I didn't know how to golf. Can I tell you something? I'm an old wicked flesh. I don't know anything about the Christian life. So I have to go to the master. I have to go to the teacher. I have to let the Holy Spirit take his word and say, you're not holding your hands right. You're not standing. I didn't even think about it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I didn't even think about that. There's a difference in changing and being changed. I'm concerned that we may be raising a generation of children that know how to appear to be living a Christian life. But we're not developing within them the importance of their walk with God. And if they never learn to walk with God, you know what? I watched Arnold Palmer. I thought I'd hold my hand just like he was. My sweater looked like his sweater. But the results weren't the same. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of folks who think they're living a Christian life. They're not living a Christian life. They changed everything that appeared. Hey, I look like a good golfer. But I'm still not a good golfer. If I break 100, you know I've played in a scramble. That's just the way it is. Do you know a coach knows what he wants in the results? And a coach knows what it takes to get those results? Do you know when a basketball player, he has to yield to the teaching and the understanding of the basketball coach? I've enjoyed reading two or three books by John Wooden and the coaching principles of John Wooden. And you know, it was amazing. One of the players, I believe it was Bill Walton, he came in and he had started growing a little beard. And he said, "Coach, what do you think?" He said, "It doesn't matter what I think." He said, "Ask whoever coach it is that you're going to play for. You're not playing for me with that beard." He said, "I had to shave it off." He said, "It was just a rule because he believed character and attitude had something to do with performance. And the Holy Spirit has the idea that character and attitude has something to do with me living the Christian life. Here's what I'm preaching tonight. Quit trying to change yourself and start yielding your life to the Holy Spirit and let Him make the changes through the Word of God. As you walk with God, as you listen to the preaching of the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit change you where you might think that you don't even need to be changed. You know, I don't have the ability to change that water to ice or to steam. You know what the changing agent is? The temperature. You put that water in a freezer in temperature below 32 degrees and you come back a while later and it will be changed to ice. I can't will it to change. The changing agent is the temperature. You take that water and you put it in heat and you'll find that it will begin to evaporate into steam. You know why? Because the temperature is the changing agent. We must understand in the Christian life, it's not just me changing what appears to be a Christian, but it's my yielding to the Holy Spirit. He is the changing agent. He is the one that will make me like Christ. The bookstore and bookshelves are filled with books that are self-help books. What we need is a revival of Holy Spirit help books. We've learned to pick ourselves up with our own bootstraps and we've designed our own Christian life and we've designed our own culture. We need a revival of getting back to the words and back to the prayer closet and saying, "Lord, what is it that you want to change in my life?" Hey, I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit works pretty quick and hard. I'll never forget, we were having a building program and we were challenging our folks to give a certain amount every week. And I remember as I began, I began to pray and ask the Lord what He wanted me to give. And I started to kneel and the Lord told me, I said, "Wait a minute, I haven't even asked you yet." I said, "Now Lord, we're getting..." And the Lord kept interrupting me and telling me how much I was supposed to give. I said, "Let me explain my budget to you a little bit. And Lord, you know how many miles my car's got on it? By the way, that's too much." Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit interrupts your prayer list? And you say, "What about changing this? What about that attitude? Well, what about those words you've started using? What about that music that you didn't used to listen to? You've started turning it off." You know what I'm talking about? Are you with me tonight? Do you know who the Holy Spirit is in your life? Can I tell you something? We need to quit trying to change people and let the Holy Spirit change folks through the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. I'm for building a person's character. My dad said, a sorry man will never make a good Christian. Never will. I'm for building a person's character. I'm for building determination. I'm for the exercising of the will. I love the words of Joshua, choose you this day whom you'll serve. It was an exercising of the will. By the way, he didn't say choose you this day if you'll serve. He said choose whom. You're going to serve somebody. I believe in the exercising of the will, but dear friend, I will never be like Christ until I let the Holy Spirit change me. I'll never have the prayer life of Jesus until I yield to the Holy Spirit. I'll never have the soul winning of Jesus until I yield to the Holy Spirit. I'll never have the daily work and the accomplishing of my work. Dear friend, can I tell you something? Sometimes the life of Jesus, it seemed like, hey, you know what? Jesus at times would be with huge crowds. And he would hear the cry of the blind man, and he would leave the crowd and he'd go to the blind man. You let the Holy Spirit lead you in soul winning. Ain't it amazing? We'll go knock on 25 doors, nobody home. We'll pass up 15 people to do it. To come back and turn in 25 cards with NH on the back. What if I said, now Lord, this is my direction. But Holy Spirit, you guide me. Anybody between here and there that you want me to witness to, you just go ahead, Holy Spirit, and you tell me. And then you'll say, him? He's mean looking. He's busy. We were knocking on doors Saturday, inviting children and teens to ride the bus for the bus route. And a man came to the door, and my son Jeremy, and he was excited. He was introducing me to his bus riders and to their dad, to their parents, and he would say, this is my dad. He's the pastor of our church, and my dad wanted to meet you. And I met a fellow by the name of Daryl. And Jeremy introduced me to him, and we talked, and I said, Daryl, are you a Christian? He dropped his head, and he said, no. I said, Daryl, you ever think about trusting Christ as your Savior? He said, strange that you'd ask. Thursday, my boss man had an aneurysm and died. His funeral's tomorrow. Daryl, had that been you, would you have gone to heaven or hell? I'd have gone to hell. He said, this is amazing that you came and talked to me today. Oh, no, it's not amazing. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't always lead me to somebody that's ready to be saved. Sometimes I plant the seed, but I never fail if I yield to the Holy Spirit. Never fail. I never fail. Hey, I've got to understand that if I'm going to live like Christ, if I'm going to have the work of Christ, the attitude of Christ, the attributes of Christ, I must yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, never forget, as the old preacher preached, and he said, I determined I was going to live like Christ. I got up when I thought Jesus got up in the morning, and I worked like I thought Jesus worked, and I went to bed when I thought he went to bed, and sometimes I prayed all night because that's what I thought Jesus did. And after months of doing that, I felt like a failure. And when I came back to the Bible and I found out that I was trying to change me rather than let the Holy Spirit change me, he said something wonderful happened when I yielded to the Holy Spirit. My life changed and joy came in my soul and people got saved, and it was amazing what happened because I yielded to the Holy Spirit. I'll never have the forgiveness of Christ, the mind of Christ, the surrender of Christ until I yield to the Holy Spirit. The day after Thanksgiving, 2 days after Thanksgiving, 3 years ago, I was downstairs in our house and I heard my wife scream. And I knew it was a scream that something terrible was wrong. And boy, I ran up the steps. I might have hit 3 steps. I mean, I just knew. And I saw my wife and I saw the most fearful look, and she was holding her hand. My wife had dropped a glass pitcher. She was making tea. And when she dropped the pitcher to keep it from hitting her foot, she jerked it back and that caused her to fall. My wife fell right on top of the broken glass pitcher. One side of the jar hit these fingers right here. The other side went through her wrist. Cut the artery completely in two. She was screaming. And when I got there, I don't even know how I did it. I don't know why I did it, but I grabbed her arm. And when I did, my hand went all the way up in the cut, and I felt the artery that was pumping blood. I took the artery, I took my two fingers, my two middle fingers here, and I pulled the artery over against the bone, and I pinched that artery off against the bone. Every time I would just let up, blood would squirt. Our little baby, Laura, was just a few weeks old. She was born in September. This was in November, just 2 months old. I knew I had to get her to the hospital quick. I told Joel, my oldest son, I said, Joel, you drive. I have to hold on to her arm. And I had to hold her arm. I would get tired. And when I would get tired, I mean blood sprayed the ceiling of our vehicle. It was terrible. My wife said, oh, God, don't let me die. Oh, God, don't let me die. Our son Jeremy and John and Leah was there, and she said, take care of the baby. And she looked at the baby with a fearful look laying on the couch when we ran out the door. When we crossed the county line, I lived just a mile into the next county. When we crossed the county line, I called 911. And they said, where are you? I told them what was happening. And the ambulance met us. And they said, do you know where this street is? And I said, I do off Clay's Mill. I said, sure, I passed on Clay's Mill. I know where it is. They said, you pull in there, we'll meet you. When we pulled in, the ambulance pulled in, and the men came around, and I was sitting in the back holding her artery there in her arm. And when the paramedic came, and he put his hand inside the cut, as I slid my hand off, he put it in. I sat there, and I just trembled. There was such a relief when those four men got a hold of my wife. They quickly put a tourniquet. They quickly put a gauze. Bleeding stopped. They put her in the ambulance. They took her to the hospital. You know why there was such a feeling of relief? Because they knew what they were doing, and I trusted them. Oh, God, help me to yield to the Holy Spirit. Help me to trust in you. I don't know what to do. I just need to yield to you. I need to yield in the morning. I need to yield in the day. We got to the hospital. She went into a 5-hour surgery. The doctor said, he said, sir, I'm sorry, your wife will never be able to use her hand again. All of the ligaments, the main artery is cut in two. All the ligaments are severed, all four, all eight, two in each finger here, and they're severed again in the fingers. Took them 5 hours to put it together. I said, Doc, my wife's my piano player. She's just not the piano player. She's mine. She's my spirit. I mean, she's my spirit of my wife and church. I mean, she has to use it again. That was in November. My wife, and it was bandaged. She had to go take therapy every day. She had all kinds of contraptions that she would hold. And you know what we did? Whatever the doctor said, that's what we did. What the physical therapist said, that's what we did. You know what we did? We yielded. I looked at the pictures of severed ligaments, and the hands are gnarled. It's terrible. My wife couldn't play. She joined the choir. Never forget the morning. I was hurting. I think emotionally perhaps I hurt more than she did. I was hurting. I was hurting because she wasn't playing the organ. And it was just something missing, just something missing. That Sunday morning when the choir came in, my wife came in and she stood behind me and she sang. She said, if I can't play, I can still sing. By July, that was November, by July my wife was playing again. I can't tell the difference than her playing before. She just plays with nine fingers. This finger here is fairly numb. I can't tell the difference. God, I know God touched her hand. I know that she worked hard, she was diligent, and she prayed. But you know why there was a recovery? She yielded to the people who knew what they were talking about. Can I make three statements? I'll make them in less than 12 minutes. Isn't it amazing how that time is flying? Number one. Yield your mind, body, soul, and spirit to Christ every day. Just yield it. that God, this when I have devotions with my family in the morning, the prayer I pray so often is, oh God, help Jeremy just to yield his life to you. Help John just to yield his life, and Leah and Laura and my wife, God, may we just be yielded. Lord, you take our life and control it. Just yield, number two. Fill your mind with the Word of God so the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Listen to me. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't put something in your mind that's not in your mind. He puts on the computer what's in the computer. You know all the programs you've got on your computer? They're not on the screen. They're in it. You have to call them up. There's some you keep on there all the time. Can I tell you something? Until I put the Word of God in my mind and in my heart, the Holy Spirit said, I can't put it under my pillow. I put it in my heart. I put it in my mind so the Holy Spirit can give me what I need, and the Holy Spirit can change me with the Word of God. Number three, set times every day to yield to the Holy Spirit of God in your life. The psalmist said this, Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel 6:10, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Every morning, a yielding. Every afternoon, a yielding. Every evening, a yielding. It's no wonder God used the men of the past, often without education, often without training. But you know what? They didn't have any choices. Lord, I have to yield to you. I don't know what to do next. The Holy Spirit did a pretty good job. I'm not against education. I'm for it. God can use it. But dear friend, I want to tell you something. The key is yielding to the Holy Spirit. I ask you the question. Are you working to have a double portion? Are you just yielding to the Holy Spirit? I believe the Holy Spirit may be hungrier to give us a double portion than we are. To desire it. Let's yield. Let's yield. I don't want to change my life. I want Him to change me. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Oh God, I don't want to form my children to where they look like good Christians. And then they surprise their mom and dad. They disappoint you, and then they surprise themselves. Lord, this is not a play that we're acting out. I want my children to have a walk with You. If they don't read the Bible for themselves, they don't pray and yield for themselves, they'll fail. If they're miserable, life will be a disappointment. I don't want to lead my church to act like Christians. I want to lead them to be like a Christian. To have a yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. Help us tonight.